this off. First of all, let's look at units on here, because certainly finding delta G using this method is going to be the easier of the two methods. But I did want to bring up how to do it using the other method, the delta H minus T delta S method, just to point out how we work with units and a very important precaution. Units on this one, what will they be? Well, let's see now. Units on the standard free energy formation were kilojoules per mole. So this would be kilojoules per mole. This is kilojoules per mole. But in each case, we're multiplying by the number of moles. So what happens to the moles? They cancel out. So the units wind up being kilojoules. Units on here are kilojoules. On the delta H, likewise here, if we want to figure out the units, we have kilojoules per mole as the values in which they're given. And so here, though, we're taking the number of moles, multiplying by kilojoules per mole. So we wind up with units of kilojoules once again. And as we've already looked at here today, the units on delta S are joules per Kelvin. And joules per Kelvin, because again, we're taking joules per mole dot K, we're multiplying by the number of moles, so moles cancel out, and we get joules per Kelvin. So if we come down here, and we'd like to take this one step further, and we'd like to calculate the delta G by the delta H minus T delta F method, making that out to be a tongue twister, then we'll go ahead and plug in our values. Our delta H was negative 802.2. Now I am going to use the units here as kilojoules. Then we're going to subtract T. T, again, standard thermodynamic temperature is 298 kelvins. And then we're going to multiply that by the delta S. Delta S we found was a negative 5.0. The units were joules per Kelvin. Now, can you see a problem here? We're going to have kilojoules minus joules, and that isn't going to work. So what do we have to do with the kilojoules or with the joules? Change to one or the other. And typically, since we express the delta G's in kilojoules, it's probably easiest to convert your delta S here to units of kilojoules per Kelvin. And so to do that, we'd multiply by a conversion of 1 kilojoule for every 1,000 joules. Joules are going to cancel out, and that leaves us a value of negative 0.0050 kilojoules per Kelvin. And so we come back here, and this would be a negative 0.0050 kilojoules per Kelvin. This point, then, our kilojoules remain, the Kelvins cancel. And so if we were to calculate it from here, we take negative 802.2, subtract from it 298 times a negative 0.005. And we wind up with a result of negative 800.7. The label on this is going to be kilojoules. And coming back here, we compare our previous answer, which we had a negative 800.8. We have a negative 800.7, so at least in the last significant figure, it looks like our answers do compare favorably. So any questions on the setup or the computation here for the delta G? Which method are you required to use? Doesn't matter. You can use whichever method you would like to calculate it. If, of course, I was presented with all of this information on an exam, the delta G's, the delta H's, and the entropies, the best method to choose would be this one right here. Okay, you can certainly, if you so desire, use the second method, but then you're calculating a delta H and a delta S, and then plugging them into this formula. But as you see, either one of them would work here in your calculations. Any questions? Okay, next up then, let's look at a generic chemical reaction. And I'm going to have to scroll down here because I'm going to write. So I'll post these here if you need them later. What we're going to look at is a generic chemical equation looking similar to one that we've seen before when we worked with equilibrium. And when we worked with equilibrium, we of course always mentioned how we determine K sub C, which of course we looked at this as being the concentrations of C raised to little c power times the concentration of D raised to little d power all over the concentration of A to the little a power, concentration of B to the little b power. One of the things we did not do, and it's going to be no big loss to you, but we did not at that time go through a calculation of K sub P, which is another one of those special K values. And K sub P is a equilibrium constant which deals with the partial pressures of the gases. And a K sub P is calculated by taking the partial pressure, and so what P stands for is the partial pressure of a gas. Given in atmospheres. And so the partial pressure of gas C raised to little c power times the partial pressure of D raised to little d power all over the partial pressure of gas A to the little a power times the partial pressure of gas B raised to the little b power. And the reason why I bring this up is because we're going to be using a computation in which we give a generic label to the equilibrium constant, which we're simply going to call K. And the generic name to this is the thermodynamic equilibrium constant. And when we work with K, K is going to stand for K sub C when all of the substances are present in solution. That is measured in molarity. And it will instead represent the K sub P when all of the substances are present in the gaseous phase. In which case they're measured in units of atmospheres. Now, a couple of different relationships that we're going to work with here will be, and I'll put this one down below here. Is this one in which we say that the change in free energy is equal to the maximum amount of work. That may be done by the system. Now don't worry, we're going to be tying all these together here in just a moment. There's a reason why we're defining some stuff here right now. We define them, and then we're going to go back and show how they're used. But now, if you've had some physics before, you should have utilized the concept of work. It's not what I'm doing now or what you do when you show up at your employer. But if you deal with the concept of work in physics, which I know many of you, most of you have had before, what does it mean if we do work? Force times the distance. Means that work is done whenever we've applied a force and have it act through or over a distance. And so we might get it by pushing a cup or by moving a car. And we can have chemical reactions do the work, like is done in an automobile, which you have a chemical reaction that takes place in the engine of octane reacting with oxygen in the air, producing carbon dioxide and water. And so what happens there is there's small explosions that occur in the cylinders, and those explosions push on the pistons, which ultimately, as the pistons move back and forth, move the drivetrain, which moves the wheels. And so work can be done in that manner there. And so delta G then, it turns out, is equal to the maximum amount of work that may be done by any such chemical system. Now another quantity here that we're going to look at is the value Q. And this is capital Q, which is one that we've seen before. And this is the thermodynamic form of the reaction quotient. And of course, the way we calculated Q was similar to the way that we calculated the equilibrium constants K, except the assumption was is that the reaction quotient was one in which we did not know whether or not a system was at equilibrium or not. And so, what we're going to do here then, is it turns out that if we want to find the change in free energy under non-standard conditions, we actually have a mechanism for doing that. And the means by which we do it looks like this. Delta G is going to be equal to the standard free energy change plus RT times the natural log of Q. So again, if we want to find delta G under non-standard conditions, we have a means by which that can be calculated. Now these are values that we've seen before. T, of course, here is going to stand for the temperature, the absolute temperature, that is in Kelvins. And R is a value that you've also seen before, that you would have seen in your first semester course. And what did R stand for? It had a name to it. Gas constant. That's the molar gas constant. Now, there's a number of different values that could be used. I hear 0.0 something, and that's a 0.08206 if it's in units of liter atmospheres per mole.K. But we're going to use this in SI units. And in SI units, it has a value of 8.315 joules per mole.K. Don't worry, we have a break coming up here very, very soon. Just wanted to get one thing here because I'd like you to do a small amount of work on an extended break today. So this is called the molar gas constant. Well, what we can do with this is take this another step further, and if we are at equilibrium, then we need to remember something is true here, and the something is true is that the standard free energy change, or the free energy change, is equal to zero. And so what we can do then is, if we were to take this equation and modify it, and I'm going to copy this here and paste it on down below. If we now have this equation, we can then replace this delta G here with a value of zero. And if we are at equilibrium, we are not going to be dealing with the reaction quotient Q, but rather we'd be dealing with the equilibrium constant of K. And so what we now have here is a form that can be rearranged. If we were to rearrange it like this, we'd say that the standard free energy change would be equal to negative RT times the natural log of K. And so this is a formula that you're going to find as one of the key equations at the very end of chapter 19 that is important. And so what we're going to do here on an extended break is I'd like for you to work on a problem. We'll take about a 20-minute break here today. I'd like for you to work on number 19.55. And on number 19.55, I'm going to kind of get you started on here. Small amount. We have a chemical equation of hydrogen gas reacting with bromine in the liquid state, yielding 2 moles of HBr. Now, in this particular calculation, asks for us to find the standard free energy change and the value of the equilibrium constant K at 25 degrees Celsius. And then I'm going to add on one more step here. We'd like to tell whether this reaction is spontaneous or not. Now, the delta G's ought to be relatively straightforward to calculate. I am going to remind you, however, how we're going to calculate K if we have this equation. And I'm going to go down here just a small amount. If we want to find K, and this is the relationship we have, we want to get K by itself. So if we want K by itself, that means we're going to have to divide each side by negative RT. And then these are going to cancel out. And so now we have the natural log of K is equal to delta G over negative RT. And how do we get K by itself?
raise it as a power of E. So we raise each side as a power of E.
And so E raised to this, E raised to this, of course, would be equal to K. So that should give you a good enough start on this.
What I will tell you is that when you work with this equation, it's assumed that the values, I guess it really doesn't matter whether you deal with these in kilojoules or joules, since the gas constant R here is given in joules, and these are given in kilojoules, you're either going to have to convert kilojoules to joules, or the joules here to kilojoules in working out this problem. So I'll give you about 20 minutes here on extended break. Let's resume at about 9:29 here today. 9:29. Extended break today, work on this problem.